From WXXI News, this is the Summer of Food on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made in 2013 on the cover of Time magazine. The issue included a photo of three chefs and the title, The Gods of Food. Inside was a list of 13 so-called food gods, a chef's family tree, and another piece called The Dudes of Food, which profiled the three male chefs on the magazine's cover. Of all the lists, all the photos and all the articles about food influencers in that issue of Time, only two women, who happen to be pastry chefs, were listed in a sidebar, and none of the 13 gods were anything but men. This lack of diversity isn't unusual in media about the culinary scene, and it reflects the gender disparity of the industry. Various surveys show that only 21% of head chefs across the country are women. This hour, we're asking why that is and how that lack of gender diversity affects the culinary scene. My guests are among the most respected female chefs and folks in the industry in our area, and they're joining us to share their experiences, the challenges they faced, and in many cases overcome. And we're going to hear their ideas for how to make the industry more inclusive. In studio, we have five. Andrea Peros is owner and operator of the Red Fern. Andrea, welcome to the program. Nice to have you
here.
Hey,
thanks, Evan.
Red Fern opened since when and where?
We opened in 2013, Park Ave area. It's an entirely vegan restaurant with gluten-free options.
Great to have you back here. Also
Thank
with
you.
Us is Anna Brinkman, the chef de cuisine at Atlas Eats. Where and since when for you?
We've been there for 5 years
Which
now.
Which is where?
Atlas Eats in Irondequoit in Rochester.
Yep.
I'm the chef de cuisine there. We serve breakfast and lunch Thursday through Sunday and dinner on Friday and Saturday nights. Dinner is a five-course tasting menu. Menu changes every 2 weeks.
Nice to have you here.
Thank you, Evan.
Emma Nguti is manager and head cook at Fusion 4 Restaurant and Bar. Emma, welcome to you.
Thank you so
and
much.
Where is Fusion 4?
We are located at 719 South Plymouth, and Fusion 4 has been around for 3 years now, and we are based with Jamaican cuisine, Caribbean, and a little bit of African mix.
It's great to have you here. Thanks
Thank
for being
here. Thank
you
so much.
Candace Dole is chef de cuisine at the Owl House. Candace, welcome to you. Owl House is on Monroe Avenue, closer to downtown.
Marshall Street.
Marshall Street, okay. And you've been working there for how long?
5 years.
Great to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me.
And Vula Maria Cazzetta Stratton is owner of Chef Vula's Greek Suites. Vula, welcome to you. Why don't you let our listeners know where you are and how long you've been doing that?
Hi, Evan. Thanks for having me. We're located at 439 Monroe Ave. I've been open since February of 2012, so about 6.5 years. We serve vegetarian and vegan Greek food as well as Greek pastries.
Awesome stuff. Really, really good stuff. Not just because there's a box in front of me, which I will make sure is well distributed. But thank you all for being here. And I guess I just want to kind of go around the table and start by asking, you look at the data from the 2015 American Community Survey, 79% of chefs and head cooks employed in the United States were men. 59%, by the way, are white men. So not a whole lot of diversity running kitchens in this country. And Candace, I guess I'll start with you. Is there anything that comes to mind immediately when we try to figure out why that disparity exists?
I think a lot of the disparity comes from, if you just look at the history of traditional family roles, women haven't really entered male-dominated workforces until the early 70s. And as far as progress and getting into positions of power goes, a lot of that has rested on the shoulders of women and demanding that we receive equality. So I think there's a lot of work to be done still. But I think, you know, restaurants have non-traditional working hours. So as far as traditional family roles go, a lot of women haven't had the opportunity to take on these top positions in restaurants. But we're seeing more and more women enter the force, and it's just about getting women in those leadership positions. So hopefully, you know, and then as the future goes forward, we'll see more women taking on those roles.
What about your own experience in terms of pursuing a career in this field? Did you find any barriers at all?
Not at first. I've been lucky in the opportunity that I've had in working in sort of a small liberal kitchen. I guess one of the biggest challenges I've faced as a woman chef was having a daughter 2 years ago and having a child, and being able to adjust my schedule to the restaurant lifestyle, and also still being able to provide a good family home and a family lifestyle for my child. So that is definitely been a challenge for me, but I've been able to do that, you know, through learning and also just creating barriers for myself on when I'm available and, you know, what I am capable of doing as a mother.
Sure. And you've also worked a little in New York City as well?
I did, but I was mostly working in front of house positions while I was in New York.
Did you experience anything there that felt like the environment would be harder for a woman?
There were some... yes, there was definitely some sexism and some misogyny that I encountered. But at the time, it just sort of seemed like that was the status quo, and you just kind of had to accept it and keep working because it was just a big city. You were on the grind. You needed to pay your bills, and you know, you had to go into work and be anxious and deal with that. But it just sort of felt like that was the way it is.
Sure, but did it make you anxious? Did it make it harder to work there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and nobody wants to work in an environment like that. But unfortunately, like I said, you have to send that check to your landlord, and you know, you're thinking about that. So those are some of the everyday stresses of people who work in this industry.
Okay. Andrea Paris, about 4 out of 5 chefs in this country in professional restaurant settings are still men. Why do you think that is?
I mean, I think that the industry is stereotypically known as being sort of like a bully industry. You know, there's a lot of aggressive chefs. There's a stereotype of a really aggressive chef that barks at the front of house, barks at the waitresses, you know, server staff. You know, I think that's where that comes from.
How much of that is our perception, whether it's in film or in the cartoonish world of quote-unquote reality TV, and how much of that does exist?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is portrayed that way a lot of times. But I think we are at a time where we can change that perception and work to show that, you know, it doesn't really matter what your gender is. You know, that's always been my experience in life. I've had a lot of good opportunities where I just never even really saw it. I've always just been the type of person that just wanted to accomplish things and never really had that barrier. So
never occurred to you for any reason that this was an industry dominated by men at the top of the restaurant cooking situation. You didn't feel like...
Yeah, I mean, I never felt held back by it. I mean, I've certainly had my share of kind of uncomfortable situations in the restaurant business because of gender, but I've just always kind of been the type that, you know, maybe it's because I'm an only child, but I always wanted to do what I wanted to do, you know? So it never really, that barrier wasn't there for me because I just didn't see it, so.
And what would you say to young women starting out thinking about a career in this line of work?
I mean, I think definitely go for it. It's, you know... No, the only thing that holds you back half the time is you, your own fears, your own confidence. I think it's really important to show women or anyone even, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. People can be lacking confidence, that can hold you back. So I think that that's important to foster. And that's what I like to do at the restaurant is just foster opportunities for people, encourage them, help them learn, you know, in a very comfortable environment where they don't feel you know, scared to learn or anything like that.
Emma Nguti, what about you? What are your thoughts on why we see this disparity among men and women?
My thoughts are, where I come from originally, from Cameroon, Africa, I don't see that a lot. And when I left Cameroon, I went to Brazil. I saw that I love cooking, I love saving people. And I was in medical school when my mom sent me to cooking school at the time. And then she saw how much I was focusing on cooking. And she asked me why. I told her because in my cooking school, most of it, I was the only girl in my class. And everywhere we go to eat, it's like men, men, men. I told her, like, women, I don't see women doing this a lot. And that pushed me a lot to cook more, to love the kitchen, and to just embrace it, that we can do it. I can do it. And at the time, I was just, I think I was 19 when I went to cooking school. And when I came to America, I was still going to go back to medical school. And my father-in-law happened to open Fusion 4, and he was the top chef at the time. So he got really sick, and I took over, since I could. So I took over helping him. He still stepped in and out. And I just believe that every woman, you can do whatever you want to do. You can be a medical doctor, you can be a cook, you can be a chef, you can be anything. So that's the drive I have. Like when I see women, there were a couple of women at the restaurant there, and because the boss was the chef, they felt some kind of intimidated. They would not want to learn from him. They just hold back. And he would try so much to help them and teach them, like, no, you can do this as much as they can. But for some reason, they would just hold back. But when I came in, at that time, I see all of us were trying to do everything equal. They'll love the kitchen more. And even the waitresses, they'll come to cook sometimes. And I just believe that maybe it's just when the man is around doing it, maybe they feel intimidated. And they shouldn't feel that way. You can do it.
Right now in Brazil, again, where you said you spent how much time in Brazil?
8 years.
Okay. Right now in Brazil, there is a movement among female journalists.
Right.
They're tired of being sexually harassed during live news reports on the street. I mean, there are many incidences in where men will go up and literally kiss them on the lips during a live report. And they have pushed back with a social media campaign trying to tell people, back off us, let us do our job. And certainly I can't speak for culture in a different place, but they have a lot of frustration. Have you experienced any sexism harassment in the industry?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, that is very, very common in Brazil. When I was doing my internship, it was in a restaurant, and it was so sad because the men in the kitchen would look so down on the women, and they just wanted to get their way. And there was just nothing they could do. The women that got in there, they would leave like every 2 weeks. But I'm not the kind of person that I'm scared of anybody. Like, I always stand my grounds and I'll tell you, you don't do this. I'm supposed to cook at this time. You have to give me my space to cook. I'm supposed to do this. You have to give me my space. But just like a lot of women, they will not be able to do that. They're scared. And that's how Brazil is. I don't know about here that much because I really don't go out. But Brazil is somewhere that you have to be strong. And that's how you have to know your strength. And that's why that is going on in Brazil, and the movement is slow. Because women will just, like, when they go out there and the men still keep doing it, they'll back off from the movement. They will not continue pushing to get their way through.
Anna Brinkman, why do you think it's roughly 4-1 men to women in terms of head chef positions?
Well, I think in the past, you know, people viewed kitchen positions as dirty, sweaty, long hours, standing on your feet the whole time, and it just wasn't really appealing to women back in the day. I think that has changed now, and women want to work harder and push themselves into these, like, high positions in the culinary world. But, yeah, I think people kind of do still see it that way, just being, you know, hard work and long hours and, you know, a man's world.
So stereotypes are hard to change sometimes.
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Have you experienced any sort of sexual harassment or issues or barriers in your own life?
You know, I have worked in some kitchens that were, you know, solely males, and I was the only females. In college, I worked somewhere in the Florida Keys, and... yeah, you know, there was a little bit of harassment, and there was a lot of young women that were there as interns, and, you know, it's unfortunate. You don't want to get into those details, but, yes, it definitely exists for sure.
Okay, and let's turn to Vula now. Vula Maria Kitsetta Stratton, who is the owner of Chef Vula's Greek Suites. Why do you think that disparity exists?
I honestly... it's really hard for me to talk about. In my experiences, I mostly noticed it when I worked in the front of the house at various restaurants. I didn't think I would ever be able to work in a kitchen because all of the restaurants that I worked in were solely men in the kitchen. I didn't think I even had a chance. So I experienced most of the difficulty and the disparity as a server. But I worked in New York City for about 5 years, ended up moving back to Rochester, knew that I wanted to open up a restaurant, knew that I would be able to be in the kitchen doing what I wanted to do. So here I am 6.5 years later.
And as you say, you know, when you experience some of that stuff in the front of the house, is it, I don't want to make assumptions, but sometimes I've even heard some diners say things to servers, and I'm amazed at sometimes what, but usually what men will say.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It was pretty rough. That's why I wanted to open my own spot up and be in charge in a position where I could treat everybody equally, men, women, with respect, and create a fun, loving working atmosphere. I think it's so different in a kitchen with a woman in charge. I'm still learning every single day. I'm growing with the business. I have wonderful staff and men and women alike. But we do have a lot of fun when it's just our girl day on Fridays, I gotta say.
Girl day on Friday?
Girl day on Fridays is the best. Sorry, guys. Love you all, too.
We are going to also talk about, and Vula mentioned before the show, you know, this conversation this hour is an exploration of this disparity, why it exists, what might change about that. What we ought to know, just as members of society, where there is this kind of disparity, which doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense on the surface. But also Vula was making the point that there's a lot of things that are very positive that are going on in the industry. And we'll make sure that we touch on some of how Vula and our other guests see that. I see some phone calls coming in. We're going to read some comments. We've heard some from your fellow chefs as well in town already and some of your many fans out there. So we're having a conversation with five women who are in the restaurant scene right here in Rochester. And most of the people who happen to be chefs leading restaurant scenes in this country, still about 79% are men. So that's the conversation this hour right here on the Summer of Food. Let me get Maggie in Rochester on the phone. And so you guys want to share headphones. There you go. So you both can hear because we've got five women here in studio. So go ahead, guys. And here's Maggie. Go ahead, Maggie.
Hey, I wanted to say like a huge shout out to Candace. She is one of the best chefs in Rochester, and our family absolutely loves going to the Owl House and eating her food. It's delicious, and it's cooked with love, and you can totally taste it. And I wanted to just ask a question about sort of the intersection of gender and economics here. So I think that having a question about women in the kitchen is really interesting, but women are coming from different places. So like when Candace was saying, you know, you got to get that check to your landlord. Like, I think that your guests feel like working class women and women who are working their way up in the industry face a different kind of dilemma when looking at being a solo woman in the kitchen? Do you see women having the same access to capital to be able to start their own restaurants and have that autonomy and be free to be in charge and not have to deal with all this? And how does sort of the history of women having a different access to startup money and all those things, like, where does economics play into all of this? And thanks.
Yeah, Maggie, thank you. It's an outstanding point and question, and we've got two owner-operators here. But Candace, before the hour began, you were making that point. I mean, we had to hit this point, and Maggie is raising the exact point. So we'll start with you.
I think it's a really important topic. I think you have to start by understanding that it costs a lot of money to start a restaurant. You have to have a lot of capital. So that immediately predisposes people with money and connections to being able to open their own restaurants. We see a tradition of cisgendered white men opening restaurants, especially in the city of Rochester, historically because they've had access to money, power, and influence and authority. So oftentimes people of the same socioeconomic interest will flock together. So that's why you see this just constant rebirthing of, you know, white men opening restaurants throughout the city. I was talking to a mentor today, and she mentioned to me that, you know, oftentimes business deals are made on the golf course, you know, not necessarily in boardrooms. So I thought that was a really interesting notion to kind of discuss and, you know, furthering touching base on the fact that, you know, these people do flock together and they have the connections, they have the information. So we need more of these mentors to reach out to women who are starting at the bottom and helping us, and also people of color, the LGBTQ community, and helping us and informing us of how and what the process is to opening your own restaurant and having the access to that funding to do that.
Yeah, Vula, your eyes just went wide. Go ahead, Vula.
I had no idea what I was doing when I opened the restaurant. I didn't even know how to bake bread. I can't believe I just admitted that on the air. And I would have never been able to do this without my family. My father is an immigrant from Greece. My mother was born in New York City, but her parents also immigrants. My Yaya Vula, who I'm named after, as well as the shop. They came here, they struggled for a really long time. They came here to give myself and my brother and the rest of my family, my cousins, a good life. So coming from all of that, I was able to open the restaurant with the help of my family, with the capital to start. Not everybody is as lucky, and I know there are programs out there, and the city of Rochester does offer grants. I'm not sure exactly what it applies to as far as women-owned businesses. Again, only because I was very fortunate to start that way. Hmm.
Andrea Paris, what about you?
I mean, same. My family, super generous. Love you, Mom and Dad. but also, you know, you can start something for much less money than people think, especially here in Rochester. That's one of the reasons I moved here from Boston, was the affordability of it.
Oh, can I ask you a question to clarify? When you say you can start something for less than people think, do you mean here in Rochester or in general in the restaurant?
Yeah, I want to speak for here. In Boston, just these are the two places I'm comparing, Rochester and Boston, because that's my experience. But in a major city, it's going to cost obviously a lot more to open something. But in a smaller city, a growing city like Rochester, where there are grants and there are, you know, everything's just more affordable, this is the place to do it. I mean, I would say that to a man or a woman. It's a lot more affordable to start here. And also things... The way people obtain money now is changing. You know, there's a lot of crowdfunding. I know a lot of local businesses that have started using some portion of crowdfunding from people contributing, donating, or getting some kind of perk back. I mean, that's really cool because there's no interest on that. So,
and Anna and Emma are both in situations with family involved. I mean, Anna, for you, the Brinkman family has worked together with Atlas Eats. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what your vision is for your own future? Do you want to be an owner-operator at some point?
I think so at some point. I started at the restaurant 5 years ago with my family. My parents are the owners. We have a lot of family working at the restaurant. My two aunts work every couple days a week prepping. We have our bakers, long time, been with the family in our other restaurants for like 25 years now. So it really is truly a family business. I do see myself growing into that position, into that ownership position.
Do you feel fortunate that you do have this family connection?
I feel extremely fortunate to have grown up in the business and gotten the experience since I was a little kid working in restaurants throughout high school and college as well, alongside of my family and in other locations. But I feel extremely fortunate to have grown up in the business and kind of know it pretty well at such a young age. Hmm. And I just love it, and I want to continue to grow in it.
And Emma, what about you? What do you see as your future in the business? Again, Emma is manager and head cook at Fusion 4 Restaurant and Bar.
Right. I see myself opening a restaurant in the future or taking over Fusion 4 from my father-in-law. Because right now, he's, bless him though, he's a super good man. And being a skin color person, we really don't get a lot of support from our community, from the Black community, and it gets frustrating sometimes, because to him, that's why he opened this restaurant, to make Black people in general feel like they have something, they have somebody that they can look back to. But it's so funny and frustrating that they are the people that come in most to criticize us, to make us feel like we cannot do it. And for that, it makes me feel like you can do it, and you can do it on your own, with or without your father-in-law. I'm so blessed to have all the support from him. And he just keeps telling me, you can do it. It's a step at a time. Don't listen to what people say. The good people will always come, and the bad people that will come to criticize you and make you feel bad, they will always come. But focus. Your focus is making people eat good food, and your focus is to make good food out there. So if that's what you're going for, go for it, and you will make it in life. So I'm so grateful he was so nice to me, to open up to me and give me the heart to work with him at Fusion 4. And right now, I just feel so blessed, because I know he has passed a lot of wisdom and a lot of understanding about the kitchen to me, and I'm not going to let that go. As a woman of color, I'm going to push and keep pushing to make sure many other Black women out there can know that we can also do this. I think we can.
And I want to turn back to, before we grab Ilana's phone call, we'll get back to the phone calls in just a second. I want to turn back to Candace Dole, who's the chef de cuisine at the Owl House, because I'm thinking of, I don't remember where, somewhere in my brain I buried which podcast or which conversation it was on, but it was on a very interesting sort of social kind of this custom, this tendency in which, let's say you've got an office environment where it's mostly men and there's a lot, or let's just say you've got all men and it's a lot of men speaking coarsely about women, it's tough, and then one woman is hired. The social custom is that typically it's a lot to ask one person to change the dynamic. So, for example, one woman might kind of try to act as, quote, one of the guys and participate in the banter, and the guys will say, no, she's cool with it, she's cool with it. But two women or more, and they will push back and say, that's inappropriate. And then the office dynamic will be shaken up a little, in the same way that if there were one restaurant in this town owned by a woman, it might be a one-off. But then you look at Vula's, and you look at Redfern, and you look at this growing movement, and the Brinkman family, and Emma's gonna do this. And I wonder if you think it, in the same way that those office dynamics come into play. And by the way, the same is true with what gay people suffer in office in terms of those kind of comments, et cetera. But do you think the same kind of thing could be true for women? If there is more of a movement towards not just working, but ownership, that could somehow open doors in ways that are hard for us to see right now?
Absolutely. I think it's really important to just look at the social landscape, which supports and favors basically white men in positions of authority. And, you know, it can be really exhausting as a woman to have to go to work as an employee, but also have to constantly feel like you have to be an activist for yourself, too, because you want to desire the same working rights that the men that you're working with also have. But yes, if we have the voice and that voice is heard, and the more voices you have together, you have a chorus and it gets louder and louder. So absolutely, the more women of color, the more people of color, the more people in the LGBTQ community that are business owners and are also getting attention from media outlets, yeah, definitely. I think there's a huge number of people that want to support businesses that are run by women and people of color and minorities and LGBTQ in the LGBTQ community. So definitely, I think that would be a major push forward.
Every Thursday at 1 p.m. throughout the summer, we call it the Summer of Food on Connections, and this is our second edition. We're talking about women in the industry, back of house, owning restaurants, working as chefs, of which in this country, roughly 80% of chefs in this country in professional settings are still men. And we'll get back to your phone calls in just a second. We've got a great panel, and you just heard Candace Dole from The Owl House, Emma Nguti from Fusion 4 Restaurant, Andrea Perros from Redfern, Anna Brinkman from Atlas Eats, Vula Maria Cassetta Stratton from Chef Vula's Greek Sweets. Let's get that only break. We'll come back to your phone calls and emails next. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on The Next Connections. First hour, a discussion about ranked choice voting. Is it time to change how we elect political leaders in this country? Then in our second hour, one of the biggest hits of the summer in pop music is a song called The Middle, but it was sort of a piecemeal approach to creating and writing it. Are we losing authenticity in the creation of music, or is that just how the future works in the pop industry? Welcome back to Connections. Let me grab a phone call before we turn back to our studio panelists. It's Ilana in Rochester next. Go ahead, Ilana.
Hi. Hello. I am also an executive chef at a local university, and I was actually a friend texted me, listened to the show, and I just kind of felt compelled to call. First of all, I'm familiar with all of the restaurants that these women work for, so shout out to lady chefs, I understand. What I kind of wanted to mention is I think there are two things that make it, I mean, there are a number of things that make it, you know, more challenging for women in this industry, but two things in particular. So I'm a single mother. I'm very fortunate that my parents live in town and my sister live in town. It would be impossible for me to have my career and be so successful in my career without that support system because, so I worked for private restaurants for about 15 years and now work for a university, which is a completely different world. I work much more reasonable hours, but I do have events and things that go on, and I still have 12 and 15-hour days occasionally. So that would be impossible without the support of my family because I'm a woman and I take care of my child. I'm divorced, and that's just what happens. I have to raise my child, and so women in general in any industry, that burden is on us to figure that out. So for us to excel, can you come to this thing? Can I go to the golf course and make a deal? Can I go to all these events? Yes. My answer is always yes, but that would be impossible for me without this, you know, the support system I have to raise my kid. Also, the other thing that I think is not always discussed with the chef role, I cook food. I write menus. Food is my passion and my life, and I'm very fortunate to have this job where I get to really express myself in something I'm so passionate about, and I'm talented in it, you know. But also, the biggest part of my job is I'm the boss. I make a lot of decisions. I have over 125 people who report to me, who are hourly staff. I have seven salaried managers. One of them is a woman. All the rest are men. So being the boss, being the decision maker as a woman, is still just an added challenge because I'm kind of, like, very often still, I've been in my role for a number of years, I get compared to people's wives or mothers, depending on their age, all the time. Well, what my wife does is this, and I think, why does that happen? When I'm talking to a man at my work, I don't immediately equate him to my father or my husband, but that's kind of where I get put, and I have to, it's an added challenge for women in these leadership roles, you know, because we can't be the B word, which we would be if we're firm, and we can't be a pushover, so we have to kind of find this balance in between, and it's just difficult. And then when you throw in that most of the other managers, most of the other chefs are men, and you're managing them, it's just this added thing that women have to deal with.
Yeah.
That I think men in the position just don't.
Ilana, have you ever had someone, whether it's in food distribution or you know, anybody who you work with, who maybe doesn't work with you on a daily basis, say to you like, oh, well, can I talk to the manager or who's in charge, assuming that you are not that person?
I love this. I was discussing this with, so I have an assistant executive chef. We have food shows often. People, so we're a university, so we're I'm a smaller university in comparison to like UV or RIT or whatever. But, you know, I feed 5,000 people a day, so we're a pretty big fish compared to like a small restaurant, which is what I was used to for so many years. Distributors come in all the time. We'll have a food show. We'll have 15 distributors come in. All of their heads will start talking to my guys. Then they see my title on my coat, and it's a visible reaction. They go, oh, it's you I'm supposed to be sucking up to. I had no idea. I'm like physically the smallest person in the room, and I'm the only woman standing there. And then they go, oh, wait a second. You're the boss? And that happens all of the time. They reach out to different people, and then when they realize I'm the decision maker, they're like, oh, okay, time to do my spiel over. I'm like, uh-huh, it's me. But it happens all of the time.
Yeah.
And in universities so far, I'm sure there are women in the executive chef position, but whenever I go to these conferences or whatever I'm doing, so far all of the people in my position in other universities are all men. Hmm.
Well, Ilana, thank you for taking the time to share the experience and to call the program. Really appreciate hearing from you.
Sure. Thanks so much.
Yeah, so a lot of nods around the table. Andrea Peros, I saw what...
Yeah, my head was going crazy.
So what is it like for you when you're in that situation and someone assumes, well, you're not the owner, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's always a real big surprise to most people who don't know that already about me. I don't take it personally. I think it is part of the culture to... It's just ingrained. And I'm not mad at people. I mean, it's, you know, part of how we've been raised. So, but I definitely love the challenge of being able to like throw that back and be like, okay, well, actually it's me who you should be speaking to, you know, like it's kind of fun to, you know, shake them up a little.
Shame them a little bit. Emma, do you experience that?
Yes, I do. And it's so funny because when the boss was sick and he usually would not cook a lot, and I would do the cooking. And when people come in and they're like, oh, Talam is a very good chef. He's a very good chef. And then when they eat the food, it's very good. And like, he cooked this, right? I'm like, no, I did. They're like, you did? I'm like, yes, I did. So you get that. I get that a lot. And they'll call the restaurant. Can I talk to somebody? I say, you can talk to me. And when they come in, they see me. They don't believe that they still can talk to me. And I'm like, they go, how old are you? I'm like, does my age really matter here? I can do it. I've been doing it. I can do it. So it's really funny when she said that.
People ask you how old you are.
Yeah. Because when they get in, that's the first thing. When it's, I tell, I'm the manager. I'm the person you have to talk to. Like, how old are you? I'm like, come on. I'm old enough. That's why I'm here.
Vula, I saw you smiling, too, at that phone call from Ilana.
Well, it happens to me a lot, too, especially the how old are you thing, because everyone thinks I'm my grandmother. They're like, oh, we thought you were going to be 80 years old.
Oh, with a name like Vula.
With a name like Vula,
you go
yeah.
to Vula's, you expect
you expect
Vula.
Everyone's like, oh, I thought you were going to be so much older. But as far as, you know, when we get phone calls from credit card companies and they're always asking, may we please, you know, is he available? And I go, you're speaking to him. Usually gets them. But yeah, it happens every single day in so many different ways.
During our brief break, Candace Dole was mentioning that in this industry, you know, not only run into the dynamics that we just heard of, but also criticism like you don't necessarily find in other industries. And Candace, tell me how you feel about that.
Yeah. When you are a cook, every dish that you yourself or your team and your restaurant presents is up for critique. You know, in a lot of jobs, you'll get a review every 6 months. But in a restaurant, you're getting reviewed every single plate. And when I say that this industry is the most criticized, what I mean is there's so many platforms for people to write their opinions and their feelings of your work, which you can take that pretty personally in this industry. I mean, this is your life's work, you know, and that can be a really daunting thing, and it can be really hard. And that's what I mean. I just don't think there's any other job that gets this much criticism.
Do you feel there's any additional criticism if the diner knows that you're a woman?
I personally have not experienced that.
Good.
But
good.
I do think that sometimes you might run into that with, you know, other chefs or some more of the old school cooks. But as far as the community that I cook for, I don't experience that.
Okay. Anna, how does that criticism impact you? I mean, do you get the first bad review, and everyone's going to get at least one, which is amazing because, again, if you've been to any of these places, you can't imagine it. But, you know, some people just have bad days and they want to criticize everything. Sometimes people even criticize me as the host of the show, if you can believe it. I'm the most deserving of criticism. Do you just learn that that's part of the deal? Do you try to learn from it? How do you feel about it?
It's definitely part of the deal. And you have to take every review with a grain of salt, really. It's just, you know, we like to say in the kitchen, everybody's a chef. Everybody thinks that they know everything, and everybody thinks that
especially
they can do
Yelp,
it better
right?
than you.
We could probably do a whole other hour on what you guys think of Yelp.
Yeah, so, you know, with all the social media platforms and everything like that, you know, I'm not going to lie, and I'm sure all these girls look at it on a almost daily basis, you know. And for us, we all work at great places where we probably do get a lot of positive reviews, but sometimes you do get a negative one, and you just have to, you know, push through it and think maybe that might need to be improved, you know, service or the dish or something like that. But it's definitely, in 2018, it's a totally different world than it was 10 years ago when it comes to criticism and reviews and things like that.
You want to add to that?
Yeah, idea? I mean, you have to be able to read through some of the criticisms, too, and just filter out, like, what are they actually saying? So, you know, we had someone feedback once that the bitter greens were too bitter and the lemon sauce was sour. And it's like, well, that's what it is. So, you
actually
have to
just
sort
complimented
of,
the dish. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to, you know, you have to filter out. There's always a way to filter and hear, like, okay, yeah, like you said, maybe something does need to be improved. And that is good feedback. But a lot of times you have to kind of filter out some of the emotion and theatrics of some of the comments.
Let me just read a couple of comments that have come in. This is from our old friend Kat Schwarz, who's worked with us here, and I know a lot of you know, the owner of Kat Bucha. And Kat says, just wanted to say thanks, Evan, for having this conversation and helping to further shine a spotlight on women in dominant roles. Andrea and Vula, to me, are friends, mentors, and role models, as I am a new business owner and also a woman. Although I'm not in a restaurant, I am in brewing and beverage manufacturing, which is also a male-dominated field. These women represent the best in our community, and we are just scratching the surface with our abundant population of women-owned, operated businesses. Keep it up, ladies.
Love you, Kat.
That's from Kat.
And
we got a note from Brian Van Etten, who owns Playhouse. You all know Brian, too. Brian writes, since I've been working in restaurant kitchens, I've been fortunate to work with many women, including some of your panel. In my opinion, the professionalism, creativity, and above everything else, the intuition that women bring to the table easily equals and often surpasses those same characteristics in their male counterparts. I fondly recall my time working alongside Andrea and Candace and their abilities to cook, direct traffic, lead a line, all while putting out fires, figuratively, is untouchable. Often the discrimination or lack of respect from the coworkers of female kitchen staff starts from the top. And sadly, in a male-dominated field, many young line cooks learn about the toxic kitchen work environment from their supervisors or business owners. Rochester is fortunate to have the few female-owned and operated businesses we have, and I hope that their success inspires many more in our area. Given the opportunity to work with any of these women again, I'd sign up in a heartbeat. It's from Brian.
Brian's the
love
best.
You, Brian.
So thank you, Brian Bennett. And he's talking about, I'm going back to what Candace and the caller Maggie brought up, which is the fact that right now most of the owner-operators are men as well. And it takes someone who's in an owner-operator position to make a decision to hire. They're hiring sometimes is reflective of value. Sometimes it's intentional and what they want to see represented. And the culture can trickle down. Candace, how much does culture, you agree with Brian, come from the top? And have you seen differences in place to place where you've worked?
I think when we talk about the figurative top, I mean, I think that's one of the most important subjects that we can discuss today. When you have this table of people who are this quote-unquote managers or bosses, and you look around and it's everybody looks the same. I think that's the most important thing. It's not just hiring a diverse staff. It's putting people in positions of authority that are diverse, having their voices heard and having those decisions that they make influence your business. I think the most important factor in imminent change is making sure that the people who are in positions of authority in your businesses are just as diverse as your staff.
Okay. And, you know, Anna, having been in many different places yourself now, have you now observe differences place to place, and can that culture, can the culture change if the top of the restaurant line is toxic in any way? If it's misogynistic, if it's, you know, sort of sexually aggressive or harassing?
Yeah, definitely. I think it kind of just trickles down to the staff, and you know, if you have a screaming head chef, you know, it's not going to be a happy work environment. We say like, happy chefs make happy food, and I think that really, like, really is true. You want to be working in a positive work environment, and you know, if you have a woman chef, I think women kind of tend to be more natural teachers. In my experience, I've learned working with women head chefs is that they kind of, you know, take the time to teach you and help you learn and grow. And men too, you know, but it's just I think more stereotypical women. Kind of have that natural teaching way about them. And I think that can help women to grow in the field.
As we move toward the end of the hour, I want to ask all of our guests how they see part of the future. And Vula, before the hour began, was stressing that, you know, there are some good things to talk about. And so this will be an opening, talk about a number of different things. But I want to start it with the question on outcomes versus opportunity. There is this still roiling, and some listeners have heard me say this before, but it's really interesting in this context. There's this still roiling debate about whether progressive-minded people want to just force equal outcomes or whether they want equal opportunity. I think it's mainly a straw man. I don't hear most people saying we must have 50-50 in tech and in kitchens and in ever. But when you've got an 80-20 split, it looks a little silly. And some of the sort of opponents of progressivism lately have said, well, there's going to be natural differences. If you could even remove all of the variables, you would have a natural differences in construction jobs and creative jobs and tech jobs and media. And I don't know what they would be, but they'd say there's be some disparity. I can't believe it'd be 80-20, especially because men and women both cook. I mean, there's no reason it would not be something closer to even. But there's a lot of factors. So, Candace, I'll start with you. I mean, you're somebody who had to contend with having a child, where our society still puts more of the weight of responsibility on women than men for that. Maybe that's changing. I don't know. But what do you think ultimately is an industry that looks more balanced to you? Is it 50-50? Is it maybe even more women than men leading in chef roles? Is it something more like 60-40? I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but it probably can't be 80-20, right?
I definitely don't think it's 80-20. I don't even know if it's something, you know, if I really want to think about it in percentages. I just think
that's kind of irrelevant.
Smart business owners know that when you expand your talent pool, you have the best outcomes. People are incredibly talented. The women I work with are unbelievably hard workers. They're incredibly talented, and I can't imagine not having them in our working environment. So I don't know if it's necessarily about percentages, but it's about expanding your talent pool. Mm-hmm. It's about pulling people from diverse backgrounds to see what they can offer. And that's truly what makes a business great.
Yeah. Andrew, what's a balanced future in this industry look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think in our kitchen and in our staff in general, it's about 50-50. The bake staff, the line staff, the front of house staff. And that's just, it didn't start that way, mm-hmm. but it has naturally become that way.
It started with more men?
It did start with more men, more men in the front, more women in the back. And that was not intentional. It just was how it started. And it's been really cool to watch it naturally split 50-50 now in the restaurant. We have over 30 employees, and it's about 50-50 on front and back of house. So it's awesome. I would like to see that.
Okay, Anna?
We actually have a lot of women that work at Atlas. People come in and they actually comment on how many women they see in the back. And, you know, we do have some younger, you know, high school kids who work in the kitchen that are males. But, I don't know. I don't know how it kind of worked out that way. We have a lot of family members, so that might be why. But, we have a very, very big group of women that work for us.
Okay. Emma, what's a balanced restaurant industry future look like to you?
I'm not going to say 50-50. I'm not going to say many more men or less women. I just want it to be a situation where a woman will be comfortable there working without nobody looking at her like, or she asks help for somebody to open something for her. They don't be like, oh, because you're a woman. Or she wants to do something and she's not able because she's not strong enough. And they look down at her and they make her feel bad. I just feel when we'll be comfortable enough to be around the men and we all cook and have fun without them making fun of us, that'll be good to me.
Okay. And Vula, what do you think?
I would like to see more, not just splitting it between men and women, but all people, accepting everyone just as people. We all eat. We all make food. We should all be cooking it if we're interested in doing that. What I do really appreciate is the amount of resumes that I get in for line cooks. It always makes me smile every time that there's a lady that's applying to be in the back of the house. And I also, I work with my aunt and my uncle and my father at the restaurant as well. And, you know, we're kind of 50-50 in our kitchen. And I don't know, I would just like to see it more geared towards not men, not women, but just all humans.
Lynn writes to us and says, Vula's is awesome. I just ate there yesterday for lunch. Aww. I forgot how good it is. Redfern is also one of my favorites. That comes from Lynn. We've had so many comments listeners who just love the work that our guests this hour have been doing. And Vula, because we had, I don't know if we had to twist your arm to come on the program, but you've gone through a lot in recent years.
I have.
You've gone through a lot. And you've got so many people who appreciate you here. And I know you had to decide whether you wanted to come on. So I'm going to let you close the program. Got about a minute left here. And you said at the outset, it isn't just a conversation about, you know, all the toxic men are bad. And there's a lot of really good stories out there. And maybe that's a good way to close it, that you've seen all sides of it, but it's not all negative.
It is not. And sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry. I've learned a lot from my father as well. And then also just like from friends like Brian writing in, mm-hmm. and it's been a long road, but it's definitely coming up at the top. Feeling really positive about the future, women in the industry, and you can go through a lot in your life, and as a woman, it's definitely a little bit more difficult, but you can always come out at the other end and just hope for a better future for everybody.
You're doing it. Thanks for taking the time to be here. Real quick, where's Voulis? Tell everybody where it is.
439 Monroe Ave. We're actually a little hidden. We're behind the Park Bench Pub. It's across the street from the McDonald's and the 7-Eleven, but there's a parking lot on the side.
See you there. Candace, real quick, where's Owl House?
75 Marshall Street.
See you at the See Owl House. Where is Atlas Eats?
2185 North Clinton Avenue in Irondequoit.
Very good. Red Fern.
283 Oxford Street at Oxford and Park.
And Fusion 4.
719 South Plymouth Avenue.
Awesome panel.
Thank you, Evan.
Just really touched by all the great stories, and thank you so much for taking the time to come in. Every Thursday at 1 p.m. throughout the summer, we call it the Summer of Food, and we'll catalog the podcast on the website, too, for you to check them all out. Our thanks to Rob Braden, the engineer, and Megan Mack, the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a lovely afternoon, and we'll talk to you Friday on Member Supported Public Radio.